When I was a young lad, back in the 40s and 50s, well, I had to attend a public school, and I had to walk miles every day just to go there. And all I thought at the time was, why? I can learn this at home. Why do I have to go there every day, day in, day out, except weekends, of course, to hear some smarty pants preacher or teacher tell me how I was going to turn out when I grew to manhood? Somehow it just didn't mean all that much to me back then. Oh, them were the old days, all right. The days when we still drew water from a well some 50 feet from the house and never once thought of calling an outhouse a bathroom. Nope. We had the smarts back then, but in a different sort of way. You know, about 10% of what we learned came from the class or the school classroom. And always had like a futuristic appeal. And the remaining 90%, well, that came at the end of a stick in the backyard of an old brick siding house. Ooh. Them was the warriors. Dad was off fighting for someone else's country, and us three boys had to make sure that the garden was properly tended and the hunting was good. You know, being the youngest of those three boys, this meant that if they didn't want to do it, guess what? I had to do it. I was the youngest. Everything kind of went down the line to me. Nope, not me. Nope. Let him do it. Nope. Let Tommy do it. Oh, yeah. Oh, who could I pass it on? Nobody. Back then, God wasn't a part of our lives, I'm sorry to say. At least if he was, we didn't hear his name mentioned. Except maybe in a disrespectful sort of way. So, while Dad was off fighting a war halfway around the world, beating up on some bad guys, Mom wanted us boys to get some religion now at the local Catholic convent. It was quite a task handling us three boys. And my mom, she was only about like 5 foot nothing. She wasn't well all the time. Now, if you ain't never been held captive by a bunch of sadistic nuns who could tan your hide faster than you could apologize, then you are one lucky dude. Oh, yeah. Now, let us fast forward here about 4 decades. Woo! After much ado about nothing and never seeing the inside of a Bible book and still being told I was going to heaven just because the nuns told me so, well, I just laid all my religion aside and got on trying to live some kind of life. For now, my attitude was, well, heaven can wait. I've given the title of my message today the same title I use on my website, Battle Site for Christ. Battle Site for Christ, a hill, a cross, a plan. The hill, of course, was Calvary. The cross was where the blood was shed. And the plan was the plan of salvation for the human soul. Did you know that every one of you who are determined to repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that you be a participant at the battle site for Christ? At the end of the Great Tribulation, when Jesus comes to destroy this old earth and to create a new earth, we'll come back with him. We who have repented and believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we'll see for the first time the battle site for Christ. Now, this wasn't the same battle at Calvary. This was a battle at the end of the tribulation, when Jesus Christ comes and sets his feet upon the earth on the Mount of Olives. Oh, I wouldn't want to be there then and not know the Lord. No, sir. There never was and there never will be such a sight ever again. Ever. The question is, here's the question. Will you be an observer or will you be a participant? Let's pray before we continue. Lord God, thank you for this opportunity to deliver this message. I pray, Father, that you will give me utterance. And Lord, that those who hear this message today, oh Lord, that they'll be receptive to it. They'll understand the words that are spoken. And when all is said and done, may everybody receive a blessing, including myself, Lord. For I come to be blessed by you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Jesus said, I quote now, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And you know what? He's saying the same thing to us now. He won't be saying it to us then. Oh no, our time is past. Our time is past. The church will be no more. We'll be gone in the rapture. Taken out. I'll tell you, right now is your time, if you have not done it, to repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Well, because tomorrow is promised to no one. No one. You might be enjoying life today and everything just kind of tickety-boo. And then suddenly tomorrow, the bottom falls out of everything. Look at the world today. Oh, it's not much of a place to live in anymore, unfortunately. But it's imperative that you understand what Jesus meant when he was speaking in Matthew 11:28. And this is what he said. I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Those are comforting words. Now, what did Jesus mean by rest? He will give you life. That's rest from this tired old world. That's rest from your sinful condition. He will give you life. That's why he went to the cross. Life eternal and peace and joy. With him in heaven. Wow. Not rest, no, in the grave. There's no rest in the grave, no. It's transitional. He was telling everyone to repent. Repent. You see, the whole point about salvation is initiated by one word. Repentance. Nobody likes that word. That means I got to stop living the way I'm used to. I got to change my mind about things. Well, changing your mind, that's right on the button there, madam, sir. Changing your mind, that's what repentance is all about. Without repentance, the Bible says there is no salvation. No. Even once you're saved, your entire communication is built on repentance. Have you ever prayed without repenting in some fashion? Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, please forgive me. That's repentance. Have you ever been sorry for something that you said? Something that you did? I'm sure you have. Repenting is turning away from that old lifestyle. You know, gallivanting around with the boys or the girls, going to the bars, living it up, you know, and just looking after number one, and turning to Christ. You know, it's not something you have to do alone. You make that condition possible, but there's more to it. The Holy Spirit. You see, once you repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, you are born again into the family of God. And guess what? The Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, comes and indwells you. Do we not ask the Lord to forgive us our trespasses? Tell him we're sorry? Do we not ask for strength when we're feeling weak, and wisdom when we feel dumbfounded? It's all connected to repentance. And the rest mentioned here, R-E-S-T, will not be fully realized until we are fully with Christ and the Holy Spirit indwells us. In the interim, well, we're told in Ephesians 6 to protect ourselves. How? By putting on, and here's the key, by putting on the full armor of God. People, there's some rough sailing ahead. There's no doubt about that. And the storms will bring forth much persecution. Much persecution. Oh, it's a hard road to travel alone. But if you have on the armor of God, you can endure. You will persevere. Are you suffering persecution right now for Christ? Are you already saved and suffering persecution? You know, the Bible says that all who believe will suffer persecution. And if you're not, well, you'd better examine yourselves to see if you really are in the faith. Because if you're truly in the faith, you're going to suffer persecution. It may be mild at times. It may be overwhelming at times. But you will suffer persecution for what you believe. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. And faith breeds persecution. And if we are to maintain that faith, the persecution will intensify as we near the end times. As we near the battle site for Christ. If you think General Custer's battle site at the Little Bighorn was something to behold, and it was, let me tell you, it doesn't hold a candle to the battle site for Christ. If you think the battle for Iwo Jima was a battle to end all battles, well, be reminded, dear people, the battle site for your soul is far greater. Far greater. These and many other battles were heroically fought. There's no getting away from that. But the battle over your soul, the battle over your soul will have more casualties than all the wars combined. The battle for the soul, That's the final battle of all. The final battle of all. Now listen carefully. When you become a soldier at the battle site for Christ, God doesn't just leave you on your own to fend for yourself. No. This is why he gave us Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, 6, chapter 6, verses 11 to 17. Now, we're just going to go through these verses to give you some background of exactly what's meant here. Verses 11 to 17, Ephesians 6. Here we are, Ephesians 6. The Word of God says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Verse 13. "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Verse 16. "Above all, take in the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Wow. Just those few short verses explaining what is necessary. Ephesians 6 tells us quite aptly what we are to do to make the war on persecution more bearable. You're going to be persecuted, but you do have a defense mechanism built into your soul because you believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We must, and I underline the word must, put on the whole armor of God. Because we are told in verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." Oh no. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. You know, it's not the WWF, the World Wrestling Federation. No, we're not facing that. But against principalities. Maybe your town allows abortion and homosexuality. It's no big deal to them. You can either speak out against it or you can move to another town. If you choose to stay and fight, then you will need to put on the full armor of God. Against powers. Ooh, powers. Powers are powerful. Those who have dominion over you. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world. And there are many of them, and they're growing. That, of course, is the devil's crowd. Against spiritual wickedness in high places could be your government. The whole armor of God is clearly defined in verse 3. "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God." It's like getting dressed in the morning. You don't put on shoes until you put on socks first. And if it's cold outside, you want protection from the elements. And you put on a hat. And maybe a coat. And be fully protected the best you can. Now, verse 14 says, "The breastplate of righteousness. Tell me, what does a policeman put on when he thinks he may be in danger of being shot at? You all know that. He wears a bulletproof vest. Why? Because the chest area of the human body is one of the most vulnerable places on the human body. Isn't that where the heart is? And according to the scriptures, the heart is what God looks upon. It's the heart where righteousness dwelleth, abideth, or evil has its place. And your feet, let's not forget your feet, shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And look at verse 16. Verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The shield, the battle shield. You have it on your arm so you can move it about to be able to block all those sinful arrows that Satan is firing your way. Oh, no, it's not a heavy piece of metal that we must carry around with us so we can shield ourselves against sin. But rather, it's a shield of faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. The greater your faith, the more protection you have. When your faith is weak, and it does get weak from time to time, then you don't have all of God's protection. It happens to the best. No matter how worthy they may be in the eyes of God, it happens. Weakness is part of the human flesh. But we have God's protection through our faith. Now, verse 17 says, and we're almost home free, stay with me, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Always remember to wear your helmet of salvation. Because if the devil sees you without it, he'll know you're not fully protected. And last, but not least, the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of the living God. And it's in your King James Bible, 1611, authorized version. Yes, sir. Every other part of your armor is to protect you from the fiery darts of the enemy. The sword, or the word, on the other hand, is the prayers and the scriptures that you must use to fend off the devil's army and help rescue the perishing. Without your sword, without the prayers, you're bound to end up dead in the water. Keep this in mind, I urge you. Although Satan may cause you to falter, he can never, never penetrate the whole armor of God. Ever. Just his closing word, and I'm finished. The big push these days is towards a softer approach when delivering the truth of God's word. Well, I want to tell you folks, we're running short on time here. Verse 19 verse 19, Paul says, "And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." My friends, the Apostle Paul was never a pussycat when it came to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh no, he spoke boldly. He spoke as God gave him utterance. And he never, never apologized for the Word of God. Not like today, with all these weak-kneed preachers and Christians that water down the Word for fear of upsetting the listener. Oh, I don't want to hurt their feelings. So I'll just be very gentle and tell them what the Word of God says. Oh, don't judge! You're going to turn people off. Well, they tried to turn off Jesus, didn't they? Oh, yes. It's time, folks. It's time to wipe away the cobwebs from your heart. And start being bold for Christ. It's time that you put on the whole armor of God. You just might see a soul saved. God bless you, and thank you for listening.